Today we have in the studio with us Brother Muhammad Hussain. So Brother Muhammad Hussain, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I was born and raised in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. After my high school education, I moved to Orlando, Florida, where I studied finance for a year. In the course of my studies, I sort of realized that there was much more to my field of study than what I was getting from the university, and so I decided to take a break from it.
So in just 21 years, you made some like big decisions from Tanzania to Orlando to Tanzania to
Alhamdulillah.
Iran.
I mean, I've actually always had an intention to sort of come here and just have a look at the educational system of the Hausa. I'd always been intrigued by it. And at the end of last year, Alhamdulillah, I was blessed to have the opportunity to come to a short winter course called the Babul Ridha course. This course was around 3 weeks.
Yeah, I had heard about that.
Yeah. And when, during the course of this camp, I sort of came to learn a lot about the Hausa system. Most of the predispositions I had and the thoughts that I had about it were sort of challenged and changed. And I really learned a lot from this camp. After which I sort of realized that this is something that's really nice. I would like to, you know, look into it further. And once I went back to Dar es Salaam, Alhamdulillah, Jamiatul Mustafa has a
Farsi course.
A Farsi course and Amuzash-e-Din,
Ma'arif-e-Islam.
Yes. And so I applied for it, Alhamdulillah. A couple months later, they gave me a reply and I came here.
So what are your future plans? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
I see myself back in my community, helping out as much as I can. Obviously, I also aspire to be an entrepreneur, and so inshallah, I plan to work towards that goal.
How is it linked? What kind of?
Entrepreneurship basically allows a person to become financially free, in the sense that the person is free to make their own decisions, is not bound by a 9-to-5 job. And I guess once you have achieved financial freedom and you've got a lot more time on your hands, you can use that time wisely in the sense to pursue things that are more that are more fulfilling in a non monetary way, to sort of pursue other goals that may be fulfilling, inshallah, to a greater extent.
That's the first time I hear people wanting to become like entrepreneur and it's not for money. And then is this something that like they teach in school, or
the funny thing is they actually don't teach these kind of things in school?
Yeah, because school is meant for training you to be a part of the industry, you know, to be
yes.
a part of the system.
Most people are, you know, giving up that orthodox conveyor belt system, the industries that are, you know, the schools that groom you into specific industries. They're sort of putting you in a conveyor belt system. That, you know what, you stand in the conveyor belt, you do your job, you finish your job, you collect your paycheck, you go home.
Working to pay their bills, make more money, spend more money, pay their bills, go like work, and then they're tired of it.
It's a hamster wheel. Most people are stuck on the hamster wheel. And once you realize that you have the choice to leave that and forge your own path in life, it can be very fulfilling, I guess.
Is there any speakers or personalities that inspired you or that helped you out?
I would namely mention Sheikh Khalil Jaffer. And so, to be honest, I've never been at a live lecture of his, but all the videos that are there on YouTube and sort of, you know, the live streams that are there have really helped.
Me too. Like,
you know? I really enjoy his approach, his perspective, and may Allah increase the lives of our Maraje. They've always been there to help us out, and they've taken the burden of, you know, understanding Islam in its purest form and working hard towards achieving a sort of greater understanding.
What are your thoughts on leader of the Islamic Sayyid Ali Khamenei?
I believe that he has established a very comprehensive system. The way the whole system is working is something that I really do admire. What most of us seem to forget, sort of, is that once the revolution took place, the job was not over. As soon as the revolution took place,
the job just started.
Yeah, the country was plunged into a war against basically the whole world. You know, the whole world was against them, and the way that Iran stood their ground, the way that they fought for their country and for their religion is something that we all should be thankful for. And I actually met a war veteran, and one of his legs, I think, is paralyzed. And so naturally, one of the first questions we asked him was, how did that happen? And just the story that he gave us was very heartwarming and something that I personally was not familiar with or accustomed with. Alhamdulillah, we have not lived in war zones and during times of war. And so this was very unfamiliar to me, but I also, you know, came about having a profound respect for that person. Not only because he is a teacher in the Hausa, which affords its own respect, but because he actually, you know, went through this whole thing and was there during the time. And that was something that really, you know, that really struck me. That, you know, that there's people out there, there's families out there that have no idea what happened to their shuhada, their family member. And 30, 40 years later, a mother is, you know, seeing her son's remains and stuff like that. And that's something very touching. It's something very hard to imagine, you know, someone going through something like that, the emotional trauma, the sacrifice, you know, that the mothers of the shuhada gave is something that is unparalleled.
How does it feel when you witness one of those things, you know, when there's one shaheed that comes and the whole city is after him?
Yeah. It's something that I've never seen before. Recently with the Shaheed Hujaji, who was brutally martyred in Syria at the hands of Daesh. The way the whole nation erupted and the way the whole nation was, you know, mourning for him was something that I'd never seen before. Because today, if, let's say, the leader of a nation, or let's say a high-ranking official of a nation passes away or is martyred, that warrants, you know,
people. Such thing. Yeah, but he was just a common man.
He was just a
common man. Nobody knew before this happened.
No one knew. And obviously, like, if something like that can happen, you know, if one of these soldiers is such a person, imagine all the other people that still haven't, you know, received shahadat or are still fighting on the battle fronts. I had a chance to read extracts of his will.
It was
very touching, you know.
Very much.
Yeah, I honestly thought that people like him don't exist anymore in today's world.
Reading that will just makes you think the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him so popular is because of what he had in his heart, the purity of his intention, you know, how much love he had for Islam and for Ahlul Bayt.